and welcome to the Brilliant Resilient Club. This is the last episode in this season. I hope you found my interviews both inspiring and insightful. I certainly have, because in common with so many other people, life has thrown a lot at me lately. I'm about to have my third operation in so many months, but I tell you what, the conversations I've had about resilience with my guests on this show have been both invaluable and comforting. If you don't already know by now, this is the Brilliant Resilient Club, the podcast all about people who push past their physical comfort zone to gain mental resilience. I'm your host, Bhavani Vaddy, and I came up with this idea after being grounded from my day job as a TV reporter during the pandemic because of an autoimmune condition. I took up cold water swimming, and for the first time in my life, I got such a buzz from exercise that it helped me thrive during some difficult times. This made me want to explore why and how other people take to the physical to cope.
At that point, my life was threatened, and also I was going to recover and actually not die from it, I was told I was going to probably lose a limb and probably a leg. So that was a disaster, obviously. Young children, full-time job, everything. And suddenly I was told that within 3 weeks, my life could just go, or I could just survive. But with minus a leg. I think when something bigger than yourself is happening, then you realize how small we are, but how also powerful we can be.
TV producer and mum of three, Emmanuel Navari, was diagnosed with a type of cancer called soft tissue sarcoma in her foot and ankle 5 years ago. She narrowly escaped losing a limb and her life. Emmanuel says the harder the challenges in her life, the more she threw herself into physical activity, and that her love of sport helped her regain both her physical and mental strength. She was always a keen runner, but after her recovery, trained to be a triathlete in her 40s, and in September competed as a Team GB triathlete. Emmanuel, welcome. Your road from recovery to elite athlete is just amazing. From that experience, how would you define resilience?
I think resilience is just to try to find some tools within yourself or around you to keep going. You know, resilience is to build a shield, but it's not something that cuts you off from the rest of the world or make you really tough and really hard and really harsh. But which actually a lot of my close friends thought I was going to become, oh, you're so competitive and so hard and so focused. And it feels kind of nearly negative to think of resilience that way. For me, it's not that. It's more to try to dig in, to find all the tools you've got around you, to be stronger and to open yourself to all these opportunities, you know, which are all around us. You know, it's like an inner strength. Resilience, I think.
So just tell me a bit about your life before your diagnosis.
So I used to work in television. In fact, I used to be a promo producer, a creative producer. So basically, this is someone who make trailers for or short form content for films or commercials. So for 25 years, I worked in a very stressful but creative and exciting environment. And then very recently, during the first lockdown, in fact, I completely recycled myself and became a fitness instructor or personal trainer, because sports has always been alongside of my job, an immense passion. So I just graduated as an instructor and thought suddenly had to jump boat during the lockdown because TV work was becoming scarce.
And there was another reason for you focusing on health and fitness, wasn't there?
Yes, that's right. 5 years ago, suddenly I was diagnosed. Something very strange happened. I had like a little lump, in fact, on my ankle, which for me was terrible because being a keen runner. And I ignored it because a lump on the ankle, everybody tells you to be careful with lumps on your breast or anywhere in your body, but not on your ankle. And in fact, I was misdiagnosed many times. So we thought it was a sports injury, but it wasn't. It was sarcoma, soft tissue sarcoma, which is some kind of a sort of cancer. And because we ignored it and misdiagnosed it for so long, it suddenly went out of proportion and became huge in very rapidly. And at that point, my life was threatened. And also, if there, I was going to recover and actually not die from it, I was told I was going to probably lose a limb and probably a leg. So that was a disaster, obviously. Young children, you know, full-time job, everything. And suddenly I was told that within 3 weeks, my life could just go, or I could just survive. But with minus a leg. And strangely, the first thing that kicked in my mind is, first, I want to live and I want to survive this. Secondly, I want to keep running. And it was just ridiculous. But in a way, because I loved sports so much and I loved running so much, that's what kind of drove me through and to focus onto something positive. So before I even got the operation or knew what the outcome was going to go, I was already Googling running with blades. And I was thinking, oh, maybe that would be an advantage in the future. I could win races because I'm the best at running with blades. So it was ridiculous. My mind just shifted because I think I didn't want to see the reality, but also I didn't want to focus on the negative. I wanted to focus on the positive. Anyway, to cut a story short, my outcome was extremely lucky because they saved my leg. I didn't, obviously, I'm still alive. In fact, it's been 5 years, so now I'm all clear. And they reconstructed my foot. And they thought I was not going to walk properly again or wear normal shoes or anything like that. But because of sports, I managed, and because I was fit before the operation, I think I managed to rehabilitate myself. I don't know how you say that. Quite quickly, and then obviously I was, and then my foot managed to reduce and heal much quicker. My stamina was strong, you know. So yes, it really helped me. In fact, it had saved me to be sporty and fit at that point. And after that, I realized I couldn't be as much into running as I used to be. So I converted myself into a triathlete and became a triathlete and trained more than ever because it gave me some kind of like a second chance, second life. So I became even more passionate about sports. And hence why, although I carried on working in TV after that for a while, I became more and more driven and passionate about sports and thought maybe one day this is what I'm going to do as a job.
And during that time, you know, when you were being diagnosed, as you said, you've got three young children and, you know, busy career. That must have been really challenging.
Yes, to say the least. I mean, I couldn't see my children when I had all the operations. I had 3 9-hour operation, and my mother had to come and live with my partner to raise the kids because I was completely out of the picture. I was in hospital for 3 months, and I was on a wheelchair for a few extra months after that. So it was very, very difficult. But also I wasn't quite with it in my head because I was heavily drugged to cope through all the pain and everything. But again, yes, I don't know. It was extremely difficult to cope with everything. But sometimes when something really, really tough happens to you, perspectives on everything changes. What seemed very difficult before the operation became nothing relevant and not that difficult. And in fact, because you had, you know, it's like what happens now with COVID for the last few months for a lot of people. I think when something bigger than yourself is happening, then you realize how small we are, but how also powerful we can be. Because if our mind is properly in the right direction, in the right state of mind, it's very mental. And sports is also very mental. I would say even now as a coach, when I work with people, it's not so much about their physical abilities. It's more how driven and focused they are and how committed you are. And if you're committed in anything you want to do, I strongly believe that you can work at it and you can reach your goals, really. So, yeah.
Now, you said you were lucky with your outcome and 5 years you've been clear. Mm-hmm. So that's fantastic.
Yes. And I can't minimize the fact that I was lucky because obviously, you know, it was really tough deal, but my cancer was also, the surgeon's done an amazing job. The outcome was lucky because he hadn't touched my tendon. So therefore they've been able to save my leg. So I could have been you know, despite all the mental resilience and sports and everything, I was also very lucky with the outcome.
But coupled with that luck, there is no doubt you showed remarkable mental resilience and then went on to achieve some amazing sporting achievements.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I suppose I became so passionate and so grateful to have, to not only be alive, but have on my body, that I thought instead of calming down, which a lot of my friends advised me to do, said you should stop sports. I had so much advice from people saying you should do more just yoga or relaxation, which I love, by the way. I love yoga too. I love all kinds of sports and movements. But it wasn't quite me. And I knew that I had this fire burning in me even more than ever. And I just wanted to live 200%, to have this feeling of excitement and achievement and really go for it, because if I could live halfway and just be careful with everything and just hide, you know, and protect myself, and or I can just make the most of that second life I've been given, which is what I've done. So therefore I've trained really hard, and I have to say the balance shifted, because then to train so hard, you have to have time. Therefore, my work in TV, I suppose, was going down a bit. I was taking less contracts as a freelancer. I also had my kids to look after. But I trained very hard, and I just qualified as a GB athlete in my age group two years ago, in fact, just before the lockdown.
Yeah, in triathlon.
In triathlon, yes. So Olympic distance. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And you've trained and you've qualified. Fair to say, later in life, it's not something that you took up when you were younger competing at this level. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, next year I'm 50. I'm turning 50, so I'm not young at all.
I can dispute that.
No, but I mean, it's encouraging. I take it as a good thing, because first I've nearly reached 50. So for me, it's nice it like that instead of thinking I'm getting older. And also, in fact, I feel like the older I get, the more, in a way, the stronger I get, because I'm more in peace with myself. I know what I want, kind of, not always. But, you know, I just feel like I'm more committed and also in a more focused way, because I have to maximize my time and juggle with all the things around in my life. So every moment is precious, and I just need to, I think it made me achieve better because I was more focused.
So tell me a bit about your path to qualifying for Team GB as a triathlete after recovering from the sarcoma. I mean, that didn't suddenly happen overnight.
As I said, I was a runner really. So my swimming was terrible. I had never cycled before in that kind of way. I had like a normal bike like everybody else have, but I didn't know any of that. So actually, thanks to a friend, she recommended me to, she suggested that I join a club, a local club, which is for a triathlon club, which I did. A lovely local club, which is also great because then you're part of your community, you meet other people, all kind of levels. Some of them were already full on into that field. And I was new, but it was just a new challenge and exciting. And then I just, basically, you have to just learn how to learn new skills. Then, you know, at the beginning, you're not very good. And then you do more. And I was quite determined, obviously, to become better quicker, and obviously I had the stamina, I suppose, and the endurance because of the running. So then it was just a matter of training to become, and learning the skills to become a good cyclist and swimmer. So swimming is much harder, because if you haven't learned properly when you're a kid, it's harder to learn as an adult, because you have adopted kind of bad technique already and you have to relearn. And I'm still learning every day. I'm not at all amazing swimmer or cyclist or anything, but I suppose I have the competitiveness in me. But it's more, a lot of people mistake that actually and see it in a negative way. A lot of my friends, oh, you're quite competitive, you know, and they think it's against others, which you have to be against others, obviously, if you want to win a race. But I think for me, the competitiveness was more towards with myself. And that's difficult to explain to people. It's just feeling like you have to grow and get better, not It's a bit dangerous because you always want to get better and better and better, and then there's a limit to everything. But yes, I still have that urge to kind of get better at things.
And then you were picked for Team GB.
Yes, so you have to basically to qualify as a GB athlete in your age group. So it's only in your age group, but you have to basically compete in certain races, which are called qualifier races, and then you have to be in the best. So yes, so it's a race to be able to be to enter the GB team. And then you go to Europe or to the world. It depends if you're a world athlete or a European athlete. For me, I've chosen Europe. And then you're sent in Europe to different countries to represent GB, which is quite ironic for me being French, because I'm going to compete, you know, against my compatriots. But yeah, I represent GB.
Well, you are a Londoner, so it makes sense you represent Britain.
So how does it feel to be representing your adopted country, approaching 50, having recovered from a really serious illness?
It's funny you ask me that, because I don't really, you know, yes, when I achieved this qualification, it was it meant something. It was really important symbolically, and also for my children, because I wanted them to see that you can't be defeated. You have to keep working at things. You have to keep hoping, keep kind of throwing yourself into, you know, like, we only have one life. It's short, and we just have to give it 100%. So for me, it's important for them to see that and to have that message. I don't know. I never feel that I've reached. I'm never 100% like, wow, that's it, I've done it. I always feel like, yeah, I've never been like that, mega confident with myself. It's very strange. I always search for more. And it's strange because you think, oh, maybe if I achieve that, then I'll be very happy and contented. But I'm not. I always need something else.
At the start of our conversation, you mentioned having tools to help you gain resilience. What tools do you think you use to help you through your recovery, rebuild, and then go on to train at an elite level?
So I was actually touching on yoga. I love the art of yoga, because I love the meditation part of it, and also the breathing. Everything to do with breathing helped me through. And it's an art, I think, to learn how to we all breathe, but to learn how to master the breathing, to calm, especially in our times right now, where there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty, that resilience and that strength you can find by learning how to pause and to breathe. And I'm a very active person in my sports, in my jobs, in my family life. I just, you know, keep moving and doing more. But in our society, we don't have time to pause and to think and to breathe and to just stop. And so I think through sport and because of my disease, first I was stuck on a bed for 3 months. So I had to stop. I was forced to stop. Something in me tells me that I've been sick and ill, but I might be wrong, because I wasn't stopping enough, because I was doing too much, because it was just all too much, and everything is like stress and the pace of, and always wanting to achieve in my job, as a mother, you know, everywhere. And I think that basically creates a lot of illness. And the doctor says it's nothing to do with that, but I don't believe them. I feel like stress affects a lot of us. And for me, resilience and yes, it's just how to learn to master, to know yourself better, and to master yourself, so to create that balance.
And how has pushing yourself competitively helped you gain resilience in other aspects of your life?
It has helped me with relationships. It kind of, to have that, my own kind of little field and bubble and passion, helped me feel stronger as a person and less fragile, less vulnerable. I thought, oh, you can do this, so you can be strong. So you don't have to be scared of that situation, or that, or you know, let things flow on top of you and not get to you directly. It can help me have some kind of distance towards things. And with work, same thing. You know, work could be very stressful, very competitive, very exciting too, of course, not just negative, but it really helped me to, again, get that distance and breathe instead of panicking when you have a deadline and it's really stressful and you're like, oh my God, how am I going to do that? You just think, and it's like on in a race, you think, okay, I've got to swim to that buoy. It's really scary. There's lots of people around me. I'm in a sea. I could drown. But no, I'm going to focus, to compose myself and just get to that, just focus on that buoy. Same with the deadline, same with a lot of things.
And now you've completely changed what work you do and you've retrained as a physical trainer.
Yes, so I think for me, the coaching, the most important thing I'd like to do is to try to give a little bit of a message to people who need it the most. So like people around me, any kind of people, it's for really all level what I do, not just for athletes or triathletes. I just want to give them that tool, to share that tool that I found for myself and just say to them, sports can, or movements, any kind of movements, any way you like it, can give you some relief in your life and can give you some strength and can give you some peace and can give you some time for yourself. We're so lucky to have a body that can work well if you look after it. And if it's, you know, so just look after yourself within and out. You know, it's not, sports is not just about squatting in the park and doing hundreds of push-ups. It has such a mental benefit. And that's what I want to give as a message as a coach, more than anything else.
Well, that's a brilliant message to end this show. And in fact, to end this season of the Brilliant Resilient Club podcast, you've been an awe-inspiring guest, Emmanuel. Good luck with all of your future endeavours.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
What a remarkable lady. I'm pleased to report that Emmanuel is also about to start a new job as an executive producer for Peloton, marrying her two passions of TV and sport. I'm sure she will smash it. Thanks to her and all of my guests for this first season of the Brilliant Resilient Club podcast. You can catch up with any episodes you might have missed wherever you get your podcasts, and I would love it if you could rate and review the show. That's it for me for a couple of months. Have a brilliant Christmas and New Year. Bye for now.